Welcome to Life Church. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you're ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
Morning, everybody. Happy Mother's Day, mothers. Just wrestling with all my stuff here, including glasses. Still, I moved on to a second stage of glasses. I didn't know there were going to be stages to it all. The first stage, I thought they were great, and I was playing with them all the time. The second stage is I keep losing them. So I think the third stage is probably one of those chains around my neck with the glasses on. Life's hard, isn't it? Life is brutal. So this morning, I'm going to finish off the series we're in about sharing the good news. Next week is J. John, so don't come here next week because J. John is at the Par Hall and we're going to be listening to J. John. But this three-week series, we had Pete speak to us first of all about sharing the good news. And Pete's great, isn't he? He's an evangelist. We love to hear his energy and his enthusiasm. And he can turn any conversation into the gospel and lead people to Jesus. And then Nick spoke to us, and he spoke to us about living the good news. And that was a great preach. And I loved the way that Nick was talking about that relationship. And then the story of the eunuch and how Philip was able to speak to the eunuch and how the eunuch was living that life. And he was reading Isaiah, wasn't he? He had a scroll in a chariot and he was reading Isaiah. And Nick said, maybe he read on and saw that beautiful truth that was that God accepted eunuchs. And it was there in black and white for him to see as he read that scroll. And what a lovely thing. And in our Christian lives, we found those things, don't we? And it's great to be in a church where we're encouraged to read the word and find those nuggets in the Bible that just shed a light on something that's just superb. So a great series so far. And I'm speaking this morning about nurturing the life. You can see there, this is the time of year, isn't it? We start to see little shoots popping out of the ground. And this is a lovely title to this final preach. It's not my title that was given to me, so I've taken it on. And it's called Nurturing the Life. And we're Life Church, and we're going to nurture the life. And we see these little plants, and they're so fragile, aren't they, as they come through the soil. And where it's an amazing miracle when we see these shoots coming through. But they need looking after, don't they? You can't just trample over the top of them. They've got to keep where they are. They've got to be fed. They've got to be watered. And that's what I'm going to speak to you about this morning, nurturing that life of a new Christian who maybe has come along to J. John next week, and they've heard that gospel message, and they've given their lives to Jesus. And then how do we, as the church, help those people along their journey? So we're going to do that with connecting to them. We're going to do that with discipleship. And we want to see people growing in their faith. Just as we've all grown in our faith, we want to see other people growing in faith. But first of all, I want to just set a little bit of a reminder for us all. This is the greatest thing that ever happened in this world. And when I was starting to do this, I felt a little bit disappointed with myself that I really wasn't engaging with what this was about. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross to save us from our sins. And he rose again a few days later and defeated death. And we need to take that so seriously. That should be part of our everyday, the way that we live. And we're going to celebrate that soon, aren't we, at Easter? But I was really condemned by this, that I wasn't doing this very well. Outside these doors are thousands of people who are going to hell unless they hear this message. And it's so important that we as the church carry this message to other people out there. So I think we can do better. Quick show of hands, who's bringing anybody to J. John that aren't a Christian next week? Yeah, me too. I haven't invited anybody to J. John who needs to hear the word. I'm going to go along to J. John and I'm going to listen to it And I'm going to go, great, well done, great word, J. John. But it's an opportunity. And we're not following through on that opportunity, are we? And we should be convicted of that this morning. And I know it's Mother's Day, and I know I've gone in a bit hard already, and I didn't want that to be uncomfortable this morning, but I think we need to be a bit uncomfortable with that. We're English, aren't we? We're very well-mannered, and we pussyfoot around everybody. But we need to grab hold of this and take it to people who we love and want to see them in heaven, and we need to take that to them. Yeah, so hopefully that's woken everybody up this morning, and we're going to be a bit hungry for this, and we're going to take this on into next week. And Pete gave out these things. Remember these things last week? Still got a huge stack of these, and these don't necessarily need to be for J. John next week because there's no seats left. But I'm happy to give my seat. If someone comes to me and says, I'm bringing a friend next week, can you give me your seat, Jez? I'm quite happy to go and do something else. I'll go and help out with the kids or something like that. But these things are up there. I'd really like to see the pile of those go down this morning as we finish church. Take these, use them, give them to people that need to hear this precious word of Jesus, and that he gave himself for to take away our sins so that people don't go to hell. Yeah? Okay. I'll be a bit more friendly now. So I've got some scriptures and some points to share with you. This week I've been at a conference, and it's been a homeless conference. It's run by Hope Into Action, and I wasn't going to go, and then I looked at my diary, and God works through Outlook. Who knew? God works through Outlook, and I looked at my diary for last Thursday, and there was nothing in my diary for work. Normally, I have loads of meetings, loads of things going on, loads of calls I need to make, and there was nothing on Thursday. And I just went, right, I better go to the conference, because God's done that in Outlook. So I'm gonna go. So I booked the day off, went to Peterborough, went to the Hope Into Action conference, and it's the biggest conference of people focusing on homelessness. There were over 300 people there. It's run by Hope Into Action. That's the charity we're partnering with. And it was a great day, really lovely day. One statistic just overwhelmed me, I think. You remember during COVID, the government had this, they put all the rough sleepers into hotels because the hotels weren't working. So that hotels were empty, and the government basically enabled everybody who was rough sleeping to go into the hotels. So basically over COVID, there were no rough sleepers on the streets of the UK, zero. Everybody went, they called it coming in, and they let all the rough sleepers come into the hotels. COVID is finished, hotels start again. Unfortunately, the rough sleepers have to go back out onto the streets. They're going into the system with shelters and that sort of thing. But rough sleeping now, homelessness is up 25% than it was before COVID. 25% more people are homeless. So, interesting statistic. You know, we're getting stuck into that. We're trying to help homeless people. See me afterwards if you want to help. Always a plug. At the conference, there was a bloke speaking called Les Isaac. Anybody heard of Les Isaac? You've heard of Les Isaacs? And Dorian's heard of Les Isaacs. Great. Les Isaac started the Street Pastors in the UK. Yeah? He also is an author, and he preached at Houses of Parliament, Westminster. Remember when Boris resigned, and there was quite a kerfuffle in the government when Boris, everybody was a bit surprised, and Les Isaac spoke, and as a result of his preach on integrity, the health secretary, Javid, resigned that day. And when he resigned, he referenced that preach that Les Isaac has made. So he'd been to that preach in the morning by Les Isaacs, and after that, he resigned, and he said because of that talk he'd heard about integrity, he needed to resign his position as health secretary. So Les Isaac, and the amazing thing about that preach is that that had been booked 3 years before, but because of COVID, it had been delayed. So the timing of that, there's God, yeah, putting that person in Westminster to preach that preach on that day. Boris resigned. Health secretary just thinks, enough's enough. This is ridiculous. I'm resigning. So God's working in that. He's a great person to listen to. But he used, he preached at the conference, and he used this this verse from Matthew 22. And this, for me, is who we share this word with. So I'm going to read this from Matthew 22. And it starts at verse 34. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees with his reply, they met together to question him again. So the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were trying to catch Jesus out. They were fed up with him. He was speaking things that they didn't agree with. So they asked him this question. One of them, an expert in religious law, tried to trap him with this question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? And Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and he's telling them what the most important things are from the Bible. And he says there, love your neighbor as yourself. We need to share the good news with our neighbor. Yeah? Our neighbor is our neighbor, next door neighbor. He's also the person you sit next to in work. He's that person that you hang out with occasionally. And that's our neighbor. And that's what this message is for. So just to clear that up, that's who we need to share the good news with. And I just want to share my story a little bit about when I became a Christian and who were the influences that helped me, that nourishment. Who gave me that nourishment? Yeah? We had life group this week, and so Rebecca led our life group in our home, and what she wanted to do was just find out everybody's testimony. So everybody, we went around the table, and everybody shared their testimony as how they'd been saved by Jesus, and how that had all worked out. And we got the opportunity to ask questions. So I use this as a bit of background research into my preach this morning, just to find out how people had influenced them on their journey. But for me, when I look back, I became a Christian when I was 14 years old in a tent on a Christian camp, and I was from a Christian home, hadn't really taken the gospel seriously, but there were people in that camp who I respected, who I liked, I listened to them, so I engaged with them. And there was an opportunity to pray and to give my life to Jesus, and that's when I did that. And for me, since then, the influences in my life have been men who can help me and encourage me on my journey. And I think that might be true for other people here. As I've grown, I suppose, attached myself to good men who do me good. And when I've lost the plot a bit, or when I've fallen away, that's when I haven't been connected with good men that help me. Yeah. And all the men in this room, I've got a relationship with every single one of you, and it's great. Some people a lot, some people I don't know so well, but I thank God for the men in my life who I can have a laugh with, I can cry with, and I can pray with. And that's been my testimony of how I've grown in my Christian life. I want to share another verse. This is from John 1, and this is about the first disciples. And what we see here is Jesus setting an example of sharing that good news, of nurturing that good news. And this is from John 1, 35 to 39. On Friday, Phoebe shared a great story with the kids here. There were 60 kids sat here on the floor, if you imagine that. And it was chaos. And Friday's not a great day for that, but we turn up and we do it. And it's really good fun. But Phoebe
shared a story. And the kids really engage really well when young people share stories. Because when adults share stories, it's a little bit like school and it's a little bit like parents. But when Phoebe and the other guys, the other young people speak to the kids, they engage and they were so quiet you could hear a pin drop. It was really good. And what Phoebe told the story about why Jesus chose the disciples, because from the outside, the disciples were smelly fishermen. And so why would Jesus do that? But what Phoebe told everybody was that Jesus chose them because they all had strengths. They all had really good gifts that God had given them, and Jesus could see what those strengths were. And Phoebe's message was to say, Jesus has got, Jesus can see a strength in you, he can see a gift in you, and he's going to use that. And it was a great story. And this is that story. This is John 1, 35 to 39. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." When John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. And Jesus looked around and saw them following. "What do you want?" he asked them. So Jesus said, "What do you want?" They replied, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And Jesus said, "Come and see," he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Jesus is choosing his disciples. Somebody says something, and he wants to hang out with them. Yeah? He set that example. He spent time with these people, and he shows us that example. We hear this great proverb, don't we? Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's my testimony. When I hang out with good men, they sharpen me and I sharpen them. And that's what that proverb means. And that's how we start to nourish and help people along their journey. And the greatest example is Jesus. And that's how he chose his disciples. So I've got three strategies that Paul, the Apostle Paul, used. And we're going to look at the book of Thessalonians. So the first one is that Paul gave himself. So Paul set an example, and these are the strategies that Paul used. The letters to Thessalonica, difficult word, it's in Greece, probably quite nice and warm at the moment. He was writing letters to the church at Thessalonica. And the letters that Paul wrote are an encouragement to the church. They were a flourishing church, a great church like this. This is a flourishing church. It's lovely to see people alive and celebrating Jesus every Sunday in this place. And so Paul was writing to a church like this, a flourishing church, and he was encouraging them. So the letters in Thessalonians are encouraging letters, and they're so good to read. So please read Thessalonians when you get home this afternoon. And this is an example of Paul giving himself. And I'll read that from 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 to 8. And Paul's letter says this: "Instead, we were like young children among you. Just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well." So Paul's reminding them what he did and how they approached it. And he says he approaches it like a nursing mother. Mother's Day, great. so we know how a mother nurses her children, nurtures the children. And Paul is describing it like that. That's how he engaged with them in that place. It was costly for him to do that. Emotionally, financially, he had to travel to that place, he had to spend time, and he spent time writing letters as well. So time is such a precious thing, isn't it? Probably the most precious thing we have is time. And so Paul was engaged with that, and he took that time out to do that and to encourage these people. But in the early days was to be like that nursing mother, because he loved them so much. He was delighted to share with them the gospel of God. And also, he is delighted to share his life with those people. So we should give ourselves, shouldn't we? And that's difficult, and that's a challenge. But that's what we need to do, is to understand that that's what God wants us to do when we're nurturing new Christians. And the second strategy is that Paul prayed for them. And we see there in 1 Thessalonians 1 and 3, two verses. We always thank God for all of you and continually mention you in our prayers. And then in 1 Thessalonians 3, night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you and supply what is lacking in your faith. So Paul sets that example of praying. And we pray, don't we? We should pray as Christians. And yesterday I saw my mum. It was Mother's Day, so I went to see my mum. Great day, went for a meal and lovely. And she sent me a text this morning. She just said, thank you for such a lovely day. And she knew I was preaching this morning. And just a little word of encouragement. She just said, oh, she was praying for me. And also that she was really proud. And that's lovely, isn't it? And family, Christian families do that. Christian families pray. And something that we were talking about in our life group was how our parents had prayed for us if we came from a Christian home, how our parents had prayed for us, and how sometimes that was a little bit awkward and a little bit embarrassing because they always made a play for it. I remember my parents, whenever my mates came round, they would always pray before the meal, which was fine. But I'm sure my dad made it a little bit longer and a little bit more painful and a little bit awkward and almost an altar call at the end. And my mates and I'd open my eyes just slightly and they'd be like laughing together and it'd be like, come on, Dad, really? Do we have to do it like this? But we look back on that, don't we? And now I get it. And now I get what he was trying to do. But at the time, it was awkward and painful. And we shared those experiences in our life group about that. But what I want to think about is if you're not from a Christian family, who is praying for you? Because it's great being in a Christian family and you know you're prayed for. My mum prayed for me this morning. I know that. She told me. But if you're not, and so that's where we step in on the praying, yeah? We pray, and when I pray about my family, and I pray for them. But I try to pray for other people as well, but they seem to be a bit of a second thought later on in my prayers. And that shouldn't be like that, because those people actually need more prayer than the family, because the Christian family's praying for them. Do you understand what I'm saying? This, that we should raise those people that don't come from a Christian family higher in our priority list of praying so that we focus on them and we pray for them, because there's not so many people praying for them. And we know that God hears our prayers and God does things with our prayers. So that, I think, is important, that as we engage with that person who we've invited along to J. John or invited along to church, that we hold them high in our prayers and we pray for them continually. And the third strategy that we look at with Paul is that Paul walked with people. Everybody say with. Yeah? And with is the word here that I want to focus on, because that's what he did. Paul walked with people. And going back to that example of Jesus in John, bear with me, it's just that. They went with him to the place and they remained with him for the rest of the day. With, it's an important word. And Paul walked with people. And we see in Acts 15, this verse. After some time, Paul said to Barnabas, this conversation, Paul said to Barnabas, let's go back and visit each city where we previously preached the word of the Lord to see how the new believers are doing. Paul wanted to go back and see how people were doing. Because he walked with them. And he walked with them long term. Yeah? Something had happened when he was back there with the believers, and he wanted to go back and check how they were doing. And so he was in it for the long haul. And I remember moving up here to Warrington. We knew that when we moved from Newark to Warrington, because we were moving because of the church, because we loved this church and we wanted to be part of this church, and we knew we were making that sacrifice, we were leaving family and friends behind, we knew that we would be in this for the long term. Because we know that God wants long relationships with people. And I want long relationships with people in this church. And so we're here for the long term. And that was Jesus as well. And that's Paul as well. And he walked with people for the long term, over an extended time. Paul's heart was to pastor people for a long time. The rhythm of his life was intentional about sticking with people over that long term. And we do that. We can do that, can't we? And I know, I want you to think of someone who you know as a Christian. Maybe you haven't seen them for a long time. Send them that text. Send them that encouraging text to see how they're doing. How are you doing? How are you getting on? We should think about those people and encourage them as we do that. And the word "with" is really, really important. And this is my last slide, and I think it sums up what this is about. Those two boys, brothers, friends, whatever, going on a journey. They're together, aren't they? And they're doing that with each other. Yeah, I've got a few other things I want to speak about as we go through more practical details. But I think this captures this nourishing process. We do it with people. We spend proper time with people. Emotional sacrifice, time sacrifice, because that's what we have to do every step of this journey. And I want you to imagine how you were when you became a Christian. Imagine those people around you who encouraged you. And then imagine that person that you're praying about because you want them to meet Jesus. There's something in your heart that goes out to that person who is a friend or a family member or something like that. You really want them to meet Jesus. But you have to be that person alongside them on this journey with them every step of the way. And there is practical things that we need to think about. The needs of a new Christian. They need to get into good devotional habits. We know that we're better when we're reading the Bible, when we're praying. And so we need Christians to become good at devotion. And we need to explain that to them. Good habits. You know, we all know what bad habits do. But we need to be in those good habits and we need to show that example to new Christians. Self-feeding. They need to stand on their own. They need to understand about the Bible and how the Bible helps them and how praying helps them. So they need that. We can't just hold their hand all the time. We need to let them feed themselves. We need to be alert because a new Christian is under attack from the devil. And that might be unusual for them. They might not understand that. If they've given their life to Jesus, strange things happen. That you have bad days. You get sick. And that's the devil testing you to try and take you away from what you've done with Jesus. One of the first things when I told my mum that I'd become a Christian, she said to me, "You need to tell someone else. You need to witness that to somebody else." And that was the first big challenge I had as a new Christian, was telling somebody else that I'd become a Christian. And we need to encourage new Christians to do that. That should be our first response. When someone says they've become a Christian, we should really, really encourage them to tell somebody else in their peer group, something like that. Because that's a big step. It's a bit scary telling somebody else. But you're starting to then exercise the words and the things that God's put on your heart to share that with other people. So we need to be alert to the enemy will attack a new Christian. And we need to pray into that. But also we need to be alongside and be ready to explain that to them when they need that. And training. You know, we like training. Some people like training. Other people don't like training. We go to the gym. We might go for a run. We know that discipline and doing things for ourselves, our physical, are really good. But also that's the same for the spiritual. We need to be in discipline. We need to be coming to church every Sunday. We need to be meeting with other believers. We need to be going to those prayer meetings, those life groups, and get that discipline into our lives. It's not always easy. We'd much rather be doing something else, probably. But we need to get that discipline like we do when we're training. And we need to overcome those thoughts that are telling us, no, just sit down, have an evening off, do that type of thing. Discipline, a step forward all the way. And so that's the end of my preach. And I suppose the last words would be that actually, as a new Christian, you're never alone. God is with you. So we do need to remember that. And I think this preach as well applies to everybody's walk with Jesus, not just a new Christian. These are things we should be doing for every Christian that is around us. But I think that because we really understand that we're never alone and God is so good, that is a lovely promise that we have with God. But as Christians, as believers, as people in church, we need to get alongside people and be with them through that. And that image of those two boys, I think, really does underline that journey and that process with a new Christian. So hopefully some of that's made sense. Some of that's gone into your heart. You'll use that next week. Please grab one of the black tickets over there. Share that with other people. I'll just pray. Father, thank you that we can meet together in your church like this. Thank you for the words that we've heard this morning. Pray that they go into our hearts. We've got open hearts, Lord, and we want to learn more about you. We want to be good servants. We want to carry your word. Most of all, we want to see people turn to you and understand the love that you have for us. Thank you that you died on the cross. Thank you that you defeated death. And thank you that you rose again. I pray that every person in here goes from this place safely, but that we're not the same as when we came in. That we have that desire, that energy to share the gospel, your truth, Lord, with other people. Give us those opportunities. Put those people in front of us that need to hear that. May we be good stewards of your word. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.